Welcome to Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Chris Johnson. You know, media plays a significant role in who gets elected, so it's important for candidates to get their message across to the American people. And today we'll talk to some key people behind a movie about Donald Trump, and there are some important faith elements to it, too. My guests today are Matt Thayer, director, and Daryl Lefevre, one of the executive producers of the Trump I Know documentary, which Wolf Rock Pictures released, and that was just released this month. So, Matt and Daryl, welcome to Charisma News.
Well, thanks for having us.
It's great to have you both. Now, the title of this film prompts our first question. In The Trump I Know, who is I?
that's a good question. So really how this all started was my business partner, Joe Knopp, got to know Laura Trump when we were promoting Unplanned, which was a pro-life film that we had a year ago. And he was kind of bouncing around D.C. and somebody said, hey, you should, actually it was Vice President Mike Pence, not just somebody, said, you should meet Laura Trump. And so they did, and they struck up a little bit of a friendship, he and Eric, and got to know each other. And he follows Laura on Instagram, and he was sitting next to his daughter on the sofa and just kind of scrolling through his Instagram. And his daughter said, hey, who's that with the dogs? And he's like, well, that's Laura Trump. That's, you know, Eric Trump's wife, the son of the president of the United States and everything. And it just dawned on him that, like, he knows her, but the American people don't know her, you know, and don't know Eric. I even had to ask my wife, honestly, when we started this project, because my wife, you know, follows this kind of thing better than I do. And I was like, so which one's Laura married to, and who is it, Donald, and she had to, you know, bring me up to date on the family. And then it kind of struck me too, like, why don't we know these people? Like, this is the first family of our country, and they're really awesome people. And so the original I is Joe, because he knew Laura Trump, so she was the Trump that he knew. And then throughout the course of this, we got to know, like I say, Eric and Don Jr., and then ultimately we got to meet the president. So hopefully it'll turn out that we all as a nation feel like we know the Trump family better and the people that surround him by the end of the film.
I feel like the title is multi-layered in that, you know, as we stated in the beginning of the film, you know, everybody has an opinion of the president. So we all think we know him, but, you know, we see in part and we hear in part, and how do we really know someone? And so everybody, I feel like the I could be anyone. It could be Joe. It could be any one of the women that know the president personally. I feel like the title is rather inclusive to quite a few people, actually.
As a viewer, Daryl, I think that's true. So I was going to ask you, you know, Donald Trump was a very famous man even before he became president, but how well can any of us know a public figure? And then we as citizens of the United States, we're going to cast our vote for someone. So how can we know our president better?
Well, I could take that. I think that, you know, it's really just a matter of really evaluating the information, you know, because that's one of the things that we touch on in the film. My dad famously, to me, actually, always had this little cartoon. I don't remember if you remember the Ziggy cartoon.
Yes.
Back in the 80s. And Ziggy's opening up his door. There's a pollster standing there. It's his pollster on his briefcase. And he says, I'm sorry, I don't have any opinions today. My TV's busted. and so my dad, I remember my dad sharing that with me from a young age, and always encouraging me to be inquisitive about any piece of information that I'm hearing. Is it somebody's opinion? Is this fact? Is it backed by evidence? And I think that's the thing that we really tried to strive for in the film was, you know, setting us up creatively with some of the camera choices and things like that, to and some of the editing choices, to create an environment where you're really feeling like you're listening to somebody firsthand. There's several interviews that, you know, don't have a lot of cuts, and, you know, we didn't want to be accused of manipulating information, and we just wanted these women to speak. And allowing these women to speak firsthand, I think, helps give people at least, you know, a little window into something that they maybe have never heard before. And then hopefully they walk away questioning the information that they are hearing and saying, okay, am I actually getting firsthand information from somebody that actually knows something, or am I really just hearing somebody's opinion? And that's really a thing that I think has gotten lost in this day of social media, where we just see headlines, and we really just read headlines, and we don't really read the articles that sometimes contradict the very headlines that are on the top. And so hopefully the documentary encourages people to question and look a little deeper.
Well, as a news writer, I appreciate what you just said about headlines and stories. We do have to dig deeper into those stories and make sure they actually match the headline. Well, you know, in much of this documentary, you show the president has surrounded himself with really capable women, and many are juggling the demands of their role in the administration, as well as the demands of family life. So why do you think that message really needed to be broadcast?
You want to take that, Daryl?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that there's this really false narrative out there that Republicans or conservatives in general, you know, don't respect women, or don't want women to succeed, or, you know, want it to be an old, you know, a man's club, you know, politics to be a man's club. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, there were so many women, you know, the Republican National Committee's chairperson is a woman. She was a stay-at-home mom, and under this president, she's, you know, running the Republican Party. And, you know, Kellyanne Conway, you know, recently left, but, you know, she was the first woman to run a successful presidential campaign. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, the Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, is just a rock star, you know, and just everybody loves her. I think she has more Twitter followers than a lot of other people that are, you know, really famous in Hollywood. So it just couldn't be any further from the truth that conservatives don't want women to succeed. And so I think it was important, you know, really important to share that story and to let these women tell their story, and show that they also understand that they are moms and they have kids. And they talk in the movie about bringing their babies to the office and taking their teenage kids along on the campaign trail and just wanting to spend time with them, and how the Republican campaign, you know, honors that and values that and wants them to raise their kids, you know, around them, and for the mom to be present. And so it was really interesting to uncover, actually, I think, because it just so goes against the grain of what you hear every day, you know, that the Republican Party or the conservatives are somehow anti-woman or something. It's ridiculous.
If I could add on to that, I think that, you know, it was important because, you know, what is one of the things that we hear from the other side is that, you know, every woman's voice matters. And ironically, no one was asking these women for their opinion. You know, I do recall one of the people in the film shared with me that she was actually part of she got called by the New York Times and was interviewed and told a glowing report of the president, but was never quoted in the piece. And she said that happened a couple of years ago. And so it was just really interesting to me. You know, and I shared this with Daryl and Joe as we were, you know, working on the project. It's like, how amazing is this that these people, you know, it's almost like they feel, every single time you interviewed them, after they kind of got over this idea of like, okay, these people are friendly people and they really just want to tell the story, they almost kind of like just completely relaxed, and they were like almost relieved and joyful to be able to share these things, because nobody was asking them, or if they were asking them, they were being so guarded because they were afraid that they were, you know, going to be their words were going to be used against them. And so it was really fascinating to me that, you know, that these people were actually very open and very accommodating, very gracious and super authentic. And you're just sitting there going like, why is it that we're this little film team, you know, from mostly Northern California that got this opportunity, and all of these journalists and all of these media people and all of these other people had access to these people and never actually got these stories? It's incredible to me. And it just really, to me, shows the bias and shows that they're not really interested in every woman's voice, because they weren't including these women's voice.
We needed a little balance there, didn't we?
Totally.
Now, we see an African-American woman who's one of the leaders that you interview, and I believe she's a single mother, too, so she represents that demographic as well. Tell me about her and her message in the film.
Well, she actually has some of my favorite lines in the film. And Katrina Pearson, she's a senior advisor for the Trump campaign, got to hang out with her quite a bit. And man, she's a fireball. And she's just, she just is straight up. She just tells you what she thinks and isn't afraid to go toe to toe with anybody that, that challenges it. And and it was really awesome to hear some of those statements come from her, because they're just so much more powerful, like you said, because she's the single mom demographic. She hits the African American demographic, the female demographic, and she's just laying it out there, saying like, "Look, like I have to point at myself in an interview once on CNN. This is in the movie, you know, and go like, how is he misogynist and racist? Like, literally, he's got me representing his campaign, you mm-hmm. know. And you're just like, and it's the same thing, but it's really the same thing. We touch on it as well, you know, in the film that, you know, the media just thinks that people are going to believe something because they just repeat it enough times. And it's the same thing that we're hearing with all of these people. I was listening to Amy Barrett's confirmation, and, you know, senators are, you know, Cory Booker's going, you know, like, well, I wish that the president would be, you know, would so clearly denounce white supremacy. And, you know, and you're just like, he has several times. I can pull up a YouTube clip of him doing it over and over and over again. And yet these people just get on a script and they just say, and they just repeat stuff. And unfortunately, people are buying it. But hopefully what we shared with Katrina and some of the other women, really some really, really firecracker statements that just hit right between the eyes of some of these narratives and lies, and you can't help but go, wow, these women are just like nailing it to the floor, and maybe somebody's wrong here. Somebody's wrong here, and now we have to, you know, now the audience is really kind of put into a position where they have to you know, they have to question it. They have to go like, well, who's wrong? You know, am I wrong? Is the media wrong? Are they wrong? You know, like, and that's really what's great, because it gets people to think.
Well, at one point in the Trump I Know documentary, there was a woman leader from, and correct me if this is wrong, but I think the Iraqi Christian Coalition, and mm-hmm. she speaks. Now, what was her contribution to the film and then also to Donald Trump's goals as president?
Well, Matt actually knows her better, but I'll just add that she's part of a Women for Trump organization, which is chapters all over the nation, mm-hmm. Women for Trump. And her and another woman that were in that organization as well, I think was she from the Philippines, Matt? Is that right?
No, she's Vietnamese. She was actually the president of Vietnam's niece. Before the fall, and they escaped 10 days before the communist takeover. That was her story. Unfortunately, that didn't make it into the film, but it's a fascinating story.
Right. But the it was great to get these perspectives of people that, grew up in other nations, you know, and you know, the woman from Vietnam, you know, makes the statement that, you know, people say America was never great, you know, because they try to contradict his, you know, make America great again, and they say America was never great. And she was like, I think that's because they'd never been to another country. You know, for you to make a statement like that about the United States of America, like, you just don't appreciate what you have here. And I mean, I've traveled around quite a bit around the world, and it's always great to come back home. You know, I mean, it's you know, it's a land of freedom, and it's just such a different air here, you know, than in other places. So I really appreciated that we went and shot these women from other countries, just kind of sharing, you know, their experience, versus, you know, in their homeland, you know, where they grew up, versus being proud to be an American.
Yes, that was a nice touch to the film.
Well, and she, and we met her through a contact, and who led us to Alice Butler Short, who's a woman featured in the film, and she has this Virginia Women for Trump chapter, and and Ava, you know, she's a really interesting story. But I mean, I think what was so powerful with her, like Daryl was saying, it was just that perspective of coming from another country and seeing the freedoms and experiencing the freedoms that America has to offer, and then watching, you know, the deterioration of those freedoms and some of the people that are, you know, tearing down the statues and all of that stuff. And I love what she said there, where she was just like, this is the beginning of the destruction of the nations that we've seen at back home, you know. And it's a great perspective to bring to the American audience, because I don't think that, like, you know, Daryl was saying, you know, people that have either never been outside the country or have never maybe frankly thought about it, you know, it's like to hear somebody say, like, no, look, when you start seeing people rioting and tearing down things and causing this kind of mayhem, this is where it leads, and we don't want that, you know. We left our other countries to come here for freedom, and basically, you know, using that as a lens for people to see, you know, wow, like we have something special here, and we need to fight to protect it.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Paula White Cain is in the film, and we know her well from being here in Central Florida. And many believers know she has been a strong spiritual advisor to the president and for years now. So what does she share in the film about how she became part of the president's inner circle?
Well, Daryl, you want to go ahead and start with that, and then I can finish that one up.
Yeah, no, it's actually a pretty amazing story. It starts back in 2001, and even the way he found out about Paula, the president had been going to one church for a very long time. Obviously, this is when he was Donald Trump, the realtor, but he became pretty famous, you know. But by the 80s and 90s, he was pretty well known, and so he, you know, the kind of shopping around for a new church didn't feel very comfortable as Donald Trump, you know, kind of shopping, you know, going to sit in the back row of 10 or 12 churches to figure out what the next church you wanted to go to was. Because he went to Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's church for a very long time. It was Presbyterian. And after he passed away, he, you know, wanted to find another church. And so he was at Mar-a-Lago down in Florida. And he happens to, you know, on Sunday morning, he did what he would do, is kind of flip through the channels to see, you know, what preachers were talking and stuff, so he could hear a sermon on the television. And he came across Paula White. And the odd thing from her perspective was that this was this little tiny station that only covered, it was like a 20 square mile area or something. Like, and it was almost like a fluke that she was even on that station, because it was so small. And he heard her, and he calls her office, you know, the president, or not the president, but Donald Trump at that time, you know, finds out how to get a hold of her and asked her to come up to New York. And again, like I said, this was 19 years ago, and called her up and asked her if she would pray with him and you know, just get to know him. And he's considered her his pastor for that whole time now. So that, you know, just the way they met was pretty interesting. And she, you know, she talks about him wanting to have her, you know, come in and bring in leaders to pray for very specific things. And I'll let Matt kind of take it from there.
Yeah, no, it was actually really funny for me. I honestly didn't know who Paula White was, and I actually told her this when I first got the chance to talk to her. In June, I was doing research, and you know, I'm reading this book, and all of a sudden I come across this story about Paula White and how the president, you know, refers to her as his pastor. You know, you're making a movie of talking to, you know, women that surround the Trump, and you're kind of like coming against this narrative of misogyny. And I'm like, okay, I've been in religious circles a long time. You know, I don't think a misogynist would call a woman his pastor, you know,
right.
Like that just doesn't, you know, that seems like something that just does not happen. And so that was curious to me. And so, you know, we had the opportunity, it was kind of a crazy story. I don't know if we have time for today, but it was a crazy story how we got connected with her because none of us knew her.
Feel free to share it.
Actually. Okay. So we were looking for a song, for the end of the film. And we talked to a few people and we just, nothing really seemed to fit. And my wife goes, well, what about Kim Walker Smith? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know her extraordinarily well. I've met her in the past, but we're really good friends with Danny and Sherry Silk, and from Loving on Purpose, and mm-hmm. They know her, and so they connected us, and I got to talk with Kim, and we're sitting there talking on the phone, and she's like, oh, I have, you know, she's like, I'm good friends with Paula White, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know. But then she goes on to tell this story that's so endearing that I literally forgot that she had mentioned Paula White. And she talks about how, you know, she's in the White House with Paula, and it was a group of, you know, I think there's a group of musicians that had gone to the White House to visit the president, and they're sitting there having dinner, and she's literally sitting next to the president. So they're having dinner, and all of a sudden Ivanka walks in across the other side of the room and walks around the table to talk to her dad. And Kim said that she had this like kind of fangirl moment. And she's like, oh my God, you know, like it's Ivanka, you know? And so she's standing, Ivanka's standing literally behind Kim to talk to her dad. And so Kim, you know, grabs out gets her phone out and kind of, you know, doing this kind of sneaky selfie kind of thing, right? You know, where she's gonna like, you know, take a picture of Ivanka standing behind her. And so she pulls out her phone, she opens up the camera app, and as the camera lights up, Ivanka has leaned in to close to Kim's face for the selfie. and Kim takes the picture. And it just, to me, it was just another story that, you know, that I love to share, because I feel like it speaks to the authenticity of the family, to their awareness of who they are in the room. And to their accommodation to people, like they're just so accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, she tells me this story, and you know, we talk a little bit more about the song, and you know, kind of the ideas and everything else, and share with her some of my thoughts. And then all of a sudden, I hang up and she's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast at that time, and it's like 11:30 to 11:45 at night. I crawl into bed, I turn off the light, and my wife's like, "How'd it go?" And I'm like, "Oh, it was good." And all of a sudden, I'm like laying there, and all of a sudden, like, oh my God, she knows Paula White. And I was like, I just like sat up in the bed and I was like, wait a minute. And so I texted her right away. And then Kim's like, well, let me ask her. And so she asked her, and Paula actually told her, send him my personal cell phone. She says, he never does that. And I got to talk to her, and I just told Paula, I said, look, I said, I didn't know who you were. My wife was like, how do you not know Paula White? And I'm like, but honestly, like, I would love to interview you for this. And so she was so gracious. Within 2 days, we had an interview set up. She flew back from, it was a crazy kind of schedule where she was flying in, and she landed in DC, and she, you know, came over to the Trump Hotel where we had the interview set up, and she gave us, you know, a wonderful 45-minute interview that honestly, the entire thing is just gold. It was the hardest thing to pull out. But I mean, the fascinating thing to me about that wasn't just also that the president called her his pastor, but it's like, has been doing so for nearly two decades. And then some of the stories that she shares of how he came to her for counsel or for prayer. And to me, that just kind of counteracts the whole narcissist thing, you know, because it's like, why would a narcissist be seeking, you know, spiritual advice and, you know, looking at the, now he's a very confident person. I feel like he knows who he is in the room and he happens to be the most powerful man on the planet. But I don't feel like to me, there's so many things like that that just counteracted that whole like narcissist narrative as well, because it's like he surrounds himself with all of these people and ultimately, you know, he's the one that makes the decision. And I understand that as a director. A lot of my crew look at me and they're like, I have ideas and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like asking for ideas and I want to surround myself with really great people. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I have to make that decision. I have to make the creative decision, you know, and I have to say, okay, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Well, I feel like he does the same thing. But to see him seeking out counsel from Paula White for almost 2 decades was just such a huge blow to the misogynist narcissist narrative in my mind.
Well, he doesn't fit the stereotypes, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Not at all.
Well, the film is called The Trump I Know. It's classified as a documentary, but it's really quite entertaining to get to know the people who are close to the president, the ones he trusts to help him get his message across and bring his vision to fruition. What do you want viewers to come away with after watching this film, Daryl and Matt?
Yeah, I really want people to see a different side and have an open mind, you know, going into it and see a different side of what they hear on the news every single day. And I feel like, you know, I've even had personally, you know, people that from my past or whatever that are, you know, very either anti-conservative or just simply anti-Trump. And, you know, they've reached out to me, you know, how dare you, how could you do this, whatnot. And my response to them is always, you know, kind of what we touched on earlier is so do these women's voices not get to be heard? Like, do we only listen to the people that fit the narrative that mainstream media is trying to push? Or do we allow people that have a different perspective, people that have known him literally either all their lives or upwards of 20 years to share their story? You know, and to be able to say, you know, this is my experience with the man. And I felt like that was really important to do that, to be able to give these people a chance to share what they want to say, rather than only people that are have, you know, marginal relationships or have no relationship at all and yet have formed an opinion, because we seem to live in an era now where people make statements as if they're fact. And they're not based on any fact at all. You know, I have things written about me on comments online. I'm like, that there's no facts in that at all. Like, there's nothing about that that's true, but you just wrote that as if it's a fact, like as if you did your research and you know it. And I find that so kind of appalling that we felt it was important to give these women a chance.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you said it was entertaining, because I think that as a storyteller, you know, my chief goal is to entertain the audience and to provide a journey and a story and, you know, some sort of catharsis, you know, and I don't feel like a lot of documentaries achieve that, you know. I think some do. And I was really inspired by some of the documentaries that I know that do achieve that. But I was really proud of the team and my editor and how we were able to really pull out a journey for people. And that's what I tell people and encourage people, is like, even if you're not into documentaries, you know, this is an entertaining story. But like Daryl said, you know, just hoping that people walk away, you know, it's like I've had several people say, like, wow, I walked away feeling proud to be an American, you know, because we really kind of wrap it around into, you know, talking about the country and talking about, you know, who we all are and kind of boiling it down to this common denominator of, you know, do we want liberty or do we want tyranny? You know, at the end of the day, I mean, really, that's what America is about. And that's what we've always been, you know, fighting for. And, you know, and really, hopefully people will walk away kind of questioning, like I said, asking questions, maybe even of themselves, of, you know, seeing this, you know, I kind of see this, I've told people, I see this as a case study. I mean, President Trump just happens to be the most famous person in the world. And, you know, we're kind of doing a case study on how people treat people, and how people assume that they understand people or that they know people, and are willing to, you know, as Daryl, you know, said, create quote unquote facts and statements based on really nothing at all. And, you know, kind of hopefully encouraging people to be less lazy intellectually and to really engage and to ask questions, and hopefully maybe even question some of their own treatment of people online, because it's not necessarily just the president. I mean, look how much we judge people online based off of just these little windows that we see. We look at people and say, wow, they're so successful, or they're so happy, or their marriage looks so great, or wow, you know, that person's a mess, or that person's, you know, got problems and I'm so much better than them. And we just tend to stand in judgment far too much about the rest of our human race. And I feel like it's better if we just begin to adopt a much greater sense of curiosity and wonder.
Very interesting to hear your philosophy behind that, Matt, and how it ties into social media too. So that's really great to hear your perspective as a filmmaker. Now, we've been speaking to Matt Thayer, director of the film The Trump I Know, and Daryl Lefevre, one of the executive producers. Thank you both for being with us today, and we want to point people to your website. What is that?
So, yeah, you can just go to thetrumpiknow.com. So it's just the title of the film, thetrumpiknow.com. And from there, you can either buy a DVD if that's the preferred method, or you can stream the film. There's just a button right there, stream the film. And it's available now to purchase or rent. And just follow the link. And it's pretty simple. So you can watch it in your own home. You don't have to. Up to brave the theaters right now. So
very good. Very good. Well, thank you both, Matt and Daryl, for being with us today on Charisma News. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Chris Johnson. You've been listening to the Charisma News podcast, and I hope that you'll take a moment to go and check out greenlines.com, which is Dr. Steve Green's website. You may know him from his Green Lines podcast, and he has done an interview with Joe Knopp and Joy Thayer, who are also behind this film, The Trump I Know. It's the podcast is called A Full-Length Movie About the People Who Know Trump Best, so you'll want to go and check that out as well to learn more about The Trump I Know. Thanks for being with us today on Charisma News.